Karen. Briefly, I want to say, so this is the third Health at Every Size panel that we've had at APHA in the past 5 years. So we're really excited to see you here. I wanted to give a brief note about language. So you'll hear all of us on the panel go back and forth between some language to describe larger bodies. So one word we're going to use is fat, and that's on purpose. And another word that we're going to use is obesity or overweight sometimes. That's on purpose, too. And they have very different meanings. So I think each of us will talk about where we use those different words to describe larger bodies. But I just want to prepare you that that's going to happen. So is that anything else to add? Good. Okay. So I'm here today talking about a paper. I want my papers. That I wrote with my friend. Please come sit down. There's spots in the front. If you didn't get one of these magnets and ASDA pamphlets, please let us know afterward. We're happy to give them to you and chat about the wonderfulness of the Association for Size, Diversity, and Health. So anyway, this paper that I'm talking about today is one I don't have any relationships to disclose because I'm an unfunded graduate student. So this is a paper I published in Fat Studies, the Journal of Fat Studies, which is a journal that started in 2012 with Esther Rothblum as the editor. And it's an interdisciplinary journal, and this article came out of conversations with my friend Sonia, who's a first author, about sitting in between fat studies and public health. So fat studies as a discipline I'll talk a little bit about, but kind of the background. So some of the things I wanted to talk about today and help you learn are evaluating the critiques of how we currently measure body size within public health. Explaining how body size measurement may support weight stigma in certain ways in public health contexts, and evaluate the feasibility and usefulness of emerging technologies for providing more accurate and non-stigmatizing body measurements for use in public health research. So who's interested in body size? And this is both my personal professional intersection and also who tends to talk about body size. So I sit between fat studies, which is a discipline that's interested in experiences of larger body size. So it pulls from disciplines like sociology, public health, psychology, cultural studies, media studies. It's a wide variety of folks studying this. And then public health, who's really interested in body size as it relates to health and health outcomes. It's typically framed in public health as the obesity epidemic. I'm going to use obesity in scare quotes, as most of us are, to refer to a really medicalized and medical distinction around large body size. And why do we measure bodies in both of those fields? So in fat studies or weight stigma research, measurement helps us determine what facilities or products might not be appropriate for larger bodies, or that bodies over a certain size face discrimination and oppression, especially when we think about supersized folks or people that other terms for medical terms might be morbidly obese or class 3 obesity, so those folks on the larger end of the spectrum. In public health, we measure bodies to track the impact of specific body sizes on health outcomes. So most commonly mentioned in the same breath as large body size tend to be things like diabetes, hypertension, and heart disease, but it's been linked to almost every health outcome under the sun, and things like cancer and early death. So how do we currently measure body size in public health? These are some of the and fat studies. In public health, the most common is BMI, or body mass index, which I'm sure you're familiar with. We also talk a lot about weight and height-weight ratios. We use these silhouette matching tests, which is this image to the right, most often used in body image or body satisfaction research, also in eating disorder research. Waist circumference and waist-height ratio is becoming increasingly popular as we talk about the critiques of BMI. And then within fat studies, some of these measures might be used as well, but also things like clothing size and more qualitative research. So I'm a size 22, I'm a size whatever, or I don't fit in a 3X in the store kind of stuff. Or self-identification. So I self-identify as fat. I think of it as a neutral descriptor for my body, like I have brown hair and I'm like medium tall. So what are some critiques of the current ways that we measure body size in public health? So how many of you have heard critiques of BMI? Excellent. Good. How many of you still use it in your research? Okay, that's what I expect. So I'm horribly critical of BMI, right? It's got a lot of problems. And I still use it in my research for a number of reasons. Sometimes the funders require it. And it's oftentimes the way that we're still allowed to talk to public health. And if we don't include, as Angela was saying earlier, reviewers are like, where's the BMI? How do I know how to think about these bodies if you don't include this measure? But there are a number of problems that have been published about the BMI and its issues. One, it doesn't take muscle and fat ratio into account. So this picture I have up here of a bodybuilder and then a fat person may have the same BMI, but it doesn't take into account their body composition, which is important for public health too. It's not designed as an individual level assessment. It was designed in the 19th century for insurance actuarial tables to talk about population health, and never designed as a thing that someone should strive for as an individual measure of health. It's poorly predictive of a lot of outcomes, and it's a standardization based on a white male body, as with many things in medical research. So body line drawings are the other thing that Sonia and I spent a lot of time talking about, and their problematic assumptions. So these are often used in, they're called body line drawings or silhouette matching tests is another name. They're used to measure body image satisfaction, so you choose a silhouette that looks most like you, and then they're often asked, what do you want to look like? And the discrepancy between the two is used to say something about how you feel about your body. So the problems that have been documented with these critiques are that they don't account for differences in body shape. The drawings aren't standardized between drawings. Feminine and female participants are usually presented as white, although this picture is a rare exception. Feminine presenting and with an hourglass shape, and it's limited in terms of upper and lower ranges of body size, so it only goes up to 140% of average body weight. So how does this relate to weight stigma? Bless you, everyone. So weight stigma is increasingly popular in public health, and my co-presenters are going to talk about it. And it's being increasingly recognized by both eating disorder associations. So a couple of these are the Binge Eating Disorder Association and National Eating Disorder Association have weight stigma awareness weeks now. And then this bottom left image is from the Rudd Center at Yale, which does a lot of weight stigma research and talks about its negative impacts on health. Although I think it's important to note the Rudd Center in this image is taking from teenagers in a weight loss program and how they feel about weight stigma, which is fascinating, and I'm happy to talk about that with you later. So public health researchers have been exploring how fat people's experiences with weight stigma negatively impacts their health. So we see it things like people avoid healthcare because of negative experiences with providers. They tend to have higher discrimination in terms of getting a job and keeping a job, which can lead to lower income, which may explain some of the low income obesity associations that we see. So I'm happy that weight stigma is being talked about. I think sometimes it's deployed problematically in public health. So the Rudd Center often has actually great quality research on why weight stigma is bad for your mental and physical health, but they couch it in terms of, well, we have to stop weight stigma so that people can lose weight, which I find to be a little problematic and goes against the core of their message. So a number of folks in public health, specifically critical public health scholars, have discussed weight stigma as a social justice issue. And have framed it in this important way, but I think public health hasn't quite taken this up because we're so focused on the elimination of obesity or the elimination of fat bodies. So what are some other options when we talk about body size measurement in public health? So we recognize that we're not going to stop measuring bodies in either public health or fat studies. So what can we do as people who are interested in being ethical with our research participants, people who are interested in treating their patients ethically? What are some options that we might have? And one thing that we propose is use of technologies around digital avatars. So availability for participants or patients to be able to choose a variety of sizes, shapes and sizes for their bodies, a variety of ethnicities and gender presentations. So public health or even fat studies could use these tools as more accurate body measurements or even as emancipatory instruments for fat identification. However, with any good technology, it can be abused as well. So one example is that when I searched body avatars, what came up, this image, which is from a weight loss website. So, you know, your power can be used for good or evil. And your mileage may vary with how helpful these new technologies are. In terms of other fields that we can draw from that are already doing some of this work from what I consider a social justice perspective, what we came up with was the field of ergonomics. So the goal of ergonomics is to create built environments that accommodate bodies of all shapes and sizes, or what's often called universal design. So it accommodates folks with disabilities, it accommodates different body sizes and shapes, with the ultimate goal of making people comfortable and improving their health by preventing things like back injuries, repetitive strains, those sorts of things. So I think we can draw from ergonomics and their take on what bodies look like and how bodies need to function in public health as an approach. So meeting people where they're at rather than having this goal for them that is often not achievable, this goal being smaller bodies. So in terms of future directions, like I said, this paper is published in Fat Studies, and I'm happy to happy to email you copies if you're interested in reading it. It's also actually available for free right now. Fat Studies occasionally does sort of open access articles, and this is one of them right now. I'll talk about this image in a second. I see people kind of laughing. But so in terms of future directions for Sonia and I, for this paper, for this movement, we really want to see size-positive academics and activists be able to use these new tools, but we recognize that we can't fully control them. But we can at least attempt to remove body size measurement from judgments of health and judgments about individual people and patients. We hope that others in public health can take up this challenge of advancing and improving the ways that we document bodies and measure bodies, and that our commentary is only the beginning of future conversations about how to best and most ethically represent body diversity across disciplines and perspectives. I chose this cartoon for a reason. It floated around my Facebook page quite a bit. So what it says is the larger woman or larger person on the left, I don't know their gender identity, says, "Doctor, I've been impaled." And the doctor says, "Well, maybe if you feel better, you'll lose some weight." And I included this because my personal work looks at patient-provider interaction a lot, around body size and how that impacts health outcomes, and also because it was funny and I like to end on a high note. Can we do questions?
Let's defer questions to the end.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks.